Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Daniel Israel, he is a doctor in private practice. He is a family practitioner, so he must be seeing an uptick if that is the case. The problem is we always see things from very much our own perspective. If I'm sick, then everybody else must be sick, right? But is that the case? Dr. Daniel Israel, good morning. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Thanks. How are you? Good to be with you.
Well, actually, funny you mentioned it. I can't get rid of my cough, you know. I don't know if this is going to go to medical aid or not, this call, but I am finding, you know, I've been sick, I'm better, but it's just lingering. And so many people I speak to are saying the same thing. Are you noticing that in your practice?
Yeah, I absolutely am. But the truth is, Howard, that it's a yearly occurrence, this coughing story. I was thinking about it earlier this morning. You know, I think that sometimes it's about our expectations. And as reductionistic as that sounds, you know, like a viral infection lasts a good few days, up to a few weeks. There's actually a study that showed that the length of rhinovirus, which is the most common virus that goes around, we'll talk about that if you want, but is between 4 and 21 days. So, you know, if somebody has a viral infection for 21 days and then they still have to wait for the inflammation in the airway to go down, you can expect to cough for 3-4 weeks, even with the assistance of some supportive meds.
So what you're saying is pull yourself together, really?
Absolutely, Howard. Where'd you come from?
Yeah. No. Yeah, listen, I come from, with, you know, German grandparents. We never indulged this whole sick business. We were put out to the snow, and if we survived, you know?
I think the environmental factors here are quite trying. We find that even in the European countries and other countries in the Northern Hemisphere where the winters are long and cold and bitter, there isn't this swing in temperature between the day and the night, and we live at a high altitude here. So it does take a lot of time for airway inflammation to go down and mucus production to go down after a virus. And there are definitely medicines, both over the counter and prescription, that can assist one. But I don't think a cough is a sign of still having a current infection.
Right. So that's exactly, because otherwise, if we did, everybody's then going to be staying home for weeks upon weeks while they try and recover from a cough that is just lingering.
Exactly. And if you look back at COVID, where perhaps we learned the most about this because we were monitoring it, surveying it, doing tests, learning from studies, there we didn't wait until people were symptom-free until we said they were recovered. We saw how long it was active, and that was it. So look, in terms of what we're seeing at the moment, There is a massive uptick at the moment of respiratory infections. Most of them are viral, as they usually are, but it is very, very common. In our practice, at least, we see it. May is probably the busiest time, May to June, early June, and that's exactly where we are now. And then as we get into winter, we get more acclimatized, and our immune systems have been exposed to these viruses, and we get sick less. And every year at this time, we do this kind of conversation. I even remember the first time I ever did something on Cry FM, it was with Kathy Kayla at the beginning of winter on the influenza.
So interesting. Right. So this is when it happens. We suddenly start noticing it around us and we think, ooh, it seems to be more prevalent than normal.
Howard, what is very interesting this year is that as has happened before, and I remember that first year of COVID, it did happen as well, there was a shortage of influenza vaccines. So this year, when people went out to get their vaccines, the people who did them early got them, and then there was a long period of time where medical aides were sending notifications saying, go get your vaccine, and there were no vaccines.
Right.
Now, remember, when you do a vaccine, it takes 2 weeks or so to develop that immunity, to develop those antibodies. So now what's happened is we've been hit by a bit of an influenza wave, and there is a lot of big uptake in influenza A, which is making people sicker than just coughing and snotting, and even those who wanted to get vaccines couldn't. So I think this is a learning point for next year for somehow the stocks to be controlled.
Right. Better. So, I mean, I had the vaccine early on in the season. The fact that I got sick, does that mean that I didn't have influenza A, or could I have just had it but with lesser symptoms?
So there's different variants of influenza. And that's why they start talking about the 3-strain and the 4-strain, and whether this year's vaccine matches the vaccine is modeled on the most recent detections of influenza, which comes from the Northern Hemisphere. But because it's a virus that mutates so quickly, mm-hmm. the key doesn't always fit the lock exactly. So you could still get influenza, and especially given the fact that you personally were traveling and different exposure to different environments. But interestingly, if you look at the statistics, we get statistics, and they're unfortunately a couple of weeks behind always because it's of the previous month, but of what's coming out of the laboratories from the swabs, rhinovirus is still by far the predominant virus, followed by probably an enterovirus, and then influenza. At the moment, COVID is quite low. There are COVID cases. We've seen COVID in our practice this week, even, but it's not an explosion of that. And rhinovirus to the layman often sounds like just a cold, but really it can present with quite a lot of coughing. And I've had patients complaining about chest burning at this time because we're in the cold air and the virus. And when you swab them, it's rhinovirus.
Is there a point in swabbing? You know, if I'm presenting with these symptoms that could be it could be rhinovirus, it could be COVID, does it actually make a difference?
It's a good question because the swabs are very expensive, certainly on the PCR panels. There are a couple of thoughts I have here. Sometimes there's diagnostic uncertainty as to whether it's bacterial or viral.
Right.
So in that case, it's a very expensive way about going around the problem. But if a patient isn't getting better and one starts thinking maybe there's a bacteria, one would try and do a bacterial culture, which are not as sensitive and don't take as quick as PCRs. But then if one had a PCR panel and a virus was detected that explained the symptoms well, it would obviate the need to give antibiotics. That's number one. Number two is that in the initial stages of an influenza infection, whether it's influenza A, B, including swine flu, taking an antiviral called Tamiflu, that's the trade name, but is effective. It doesn't kill the virus, but it attenuates the severity and length of it. It has to be given in the first day or two. So when patients have been sick for 4 or 5 days and then they start saying, should I test if I have this, I can take the antiviral, it's pointless. But that is a good use of it. Now, overseas and now in South Africa to a degree as well, we have rapid tests. And perhaps they're not as sensitive, but the rapid tests are probably a more economic option. And if one gets a rapid positive influenza and one takes Tamiflu in the right cases, it might make it less severe.
Mm. Should we be normalizing masks if you are feeling symptomatic? I mean, when I see somebody with a mask in public, I want to smack them at the back of the head. It's an irrational response that I have to masks right now. So let's not go.
Sounds like you need some therapy.
I think I need therapy anyway, but maybe this is the bottom of the queue, I think. Because it takes us back there. But should we be, if somebody's feeling symptomatic or they're coughing and they want to go to shul, they might be, you know, they're not sure if they're over it or not, should they be wearing a mask?
Look, I think we haven't learned out enough from COVID which we should have. But very clearly we saw in COVID that masks work. And I would still say that if you asked me at the end of this, how does one prevent getting sick? I would say the infection control measures are the most important things. Washing hands is a big study that shows that people touch their eyes after they shake hands, this kind of thing. So masks fit into that. I suppose one has to weigh up the social and emotional toll of masks and, you know, this kind of isolation versus, you know, getting a rhinovirus and being a bit uncomfortable. So I don't think that in terms of preventing something like rhinovirus, it's the end of the world. If it sounds very reductionistic, but if it goes around a bit and then maybe it's a bit over the top wearing a mask for that. But that said, it's totally, I'm very mindful, just I suppose it's in our training, of if I shake somebody's hand or I'm at shul and I shake different people's hands, I don't go and eat afterwards without washing my hands 100%. Just once. And that makes a big difference. And interestingly, I've seen a few comrades runners this week and who really are walking around washing hands.
They're hysterical. They're lunatics.
We don't know where they're coming from.
Yeah, you can't take them seriously. Yeah. It's only their spouses.
Source of information.
Exactly. Agreed. They're the outliers on this. But I think the point is well made, is that just be a little bit cautious around it. You don't need to take it to the point that it impacts your emotional and mental health and isolates you, but just be aware, both if you are feeling symptomatic and even if you're not. If you've shaken people's hands, make sure that you've washed your hands properly, so as to try to prevent something from impacting you.
Yeah. So Howard, the drive home points would just be focus on prevention more than cure. Prevention by means of infection control and less exposure, etc. If one does get sick, supportive treatment is normally enough. If it's not settling, then perhaps see the doctor just to make sure there's nothing bacterial or something that needs to be addressed secondary. If people who haven't had flu vaccines should get them now anyway, because even though it's late in the season, this carries on until August and there's different variants and they are more available. And we will get through it as we do every year. Next year, someone will ask me, can we have a discussion? There seems to be a huge uptick in the respiratory viruses. So all good, and we seem on track.
That is great. Thank you for that. A very, very valid and interesting way of looking at it. I'd love your thoughts on 0618951019. Dr. Daniel Israel, thank you.
In the headlines, judge temporarily blocks Trump's ban on international students at Harvard. IDF strikes Hezbollah drone facilities, and Egurleni city manager placed on special leave. I'll be back with these and other stories for you at the top of the hour.